Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we love you, Lord, with all of our heart. We believe, Father, that you are our Father, and you are most certainly our God. And we're thankful for the order that you have placed in the family. We have an eldest brother, your son Jesus. I look to in the family, Lord, we know that there's many brothers, a vast family of brothers. Some are the youngest, Lord, and some are the oldest, and some are older than the younger, but as Brother Vail was my older brother, Brother Bram was his older brother, Paul, his older brother, all the way back to Jesus, the eldest brother. So, Father, we know that you set a pattern for us, and that was through your son Jesus, because you came down and acted out the role of a son, and he just stepped into the vision and conducted himself as that son, that obedient son. So, Father, we just pray that you'd help us, Lord, to understand more what you want for us in this hour. And we pray, Father, that you would help us also to understand that the rapture is such a natural thing. Brother Brown said it could pass right through you and you wouldn't even know it. And so, Lord, may we be sensitive to your Holy Spirit, for sons of God are led by your Spirit. Be with us now as we open thy word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. First Thessalonians 4, verse 16, we read, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." And we know the shout is a message, and it's a perfect word because God vindicated it to be so. I know that while his presence is still here, that he also came with the voice of the archangel. We know according to God's vindicated prophet, the voice is that of the resurrection, and his presence will lead us from the message into the resurrection. And then as the apostle Paul says, "And with the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Now, this entire rapture scenario that the apostle Paul is speaking of here says not one word about our having a thing to do with any one of these events, all right? You simply don't have a hand in it. It is all about what God is here to do. Yet so many people think that rapturing faith is something that the bride will either create within herself or somehow she will muster up this faith for herself because they don't understand what faith is. Faith simply is a revelation. If it's revealed, it's not something you conjured up in your mind. It's not a mental thing. It's a person. Now, I'm going to go for my notes here just to show you. Strong's Concordance. The scripture says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So it's a substance. So what is substance faith? Well, let's just click on that little word substance. And it's a Greek word, hypostasis. It is used as concretely, essence, or abstractly, assurance, confidence, confident, person, and substance. Now, let's go out, and we're going to go to Hebrews 1. God, who at sundry time and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son, actually, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his God's glory, and the express image of his person. Now let's click on that word person. And you see it's the same Greek word. All right, so now we're looking at this. If we are to have rapturing faith, and faith is a substance, and faith is a person. And faith also, that word hypostasis is also translated as confidence. Then faith is our confidence in the person. You see? Now, you know, when you fly a plane, you don't have confidence in the materials of the plane, you have confidence in the person who designed it, knowing that they knew which materials to do. When you come in, you turn on the light switch. You know, if you have a good electrician, you know the lights are going to work. If you have a guy who's not a good electrician, you have doubt whether the light will work. All right. So it's not confidence in the thing, it's confidence in the person. And that's what faith is all about. That's what rapturing faith is all about. It's not something you can conjure up and say, I'm going to make it. It's about he's already done it. He's in me working to will and to do. All right? So that's what we're looking at here. So we read on. Now, this entire rapture scenario, as I said, that the Apostle Paul is speaking of here, says not one thing about our having a thing to do with any one of these events. We are simply, as Brother Vail taught, passive. We're watching what God did. You simply don't have a hand in it. And that's what people don't understand. That's what John 14:12 is all about. It's not you. It's not you. It's him. It's him working in you to willing to do. All right? But people see the word works, and so they think, they work campaign, works is law, works is legalism. That's what they think of the word works. But works simply means the expression, you know, of the idea. So, in other words, God wants something to be done, and he puts it in a vision. Jesus sees the vision. He says he has to walk through 300 people because in the vision he sees one person, and he goes past all those people, and he obeys the vision. He simply does what the vision has instructed, and then the man is healed. Who did the healing? Not Jesus, the man. Not the man Jesus. It was God did the healing. You see, that's what John 14:12 is. It's all about God. Remember Brother Vail drew the circle, and he said God, and then he drew all these attributes, characteristics, you know, Elohim and or El Shaddai, and the seven compound redemptive names, you know, the Raphi and all those things. And then he erases it all. He says, it gets back to one thing, God. It's God. Rapture, what is it? God. Who came down with a shout? God. Who came down with a voice? God. Who came down with a trump? God. He's here to do all things. So what our rapturing faith is that just being in touch with him. In other words, the more you die to yourself, remember he said, if you be any otherwise minded, he will reveal it to you. All right? So just because you don't know something doesn't mean it's not real, all right? But it is real, because he is real. So yet so many people, as I said, think that rapturing faith is something that the bride will either create within herself or somehow she will muster up this faith. That's a wrong conception, because that puts you in the equation, and you're not in the equation. It's him. Either you're predestinated to it or you're not, okay? So, but I see no scripture for that kind of thinking. The Bible says, for the Lord himself shall. And we're talking about this evening about rapturing faith. What is a rapture? Brother Branham said he does three things in his descent. The rapture, by the way, is not an event. You know, most people associate the rapture with only the catching away. Sure. The rapture is a shout.
Right.
We're in the shout.
Amen.
You're in the rapture.
Absolutely.
Did you have anything to do with it? No, he did. It wasn't you finding him. It was him finding you.
Amen.
All right? Good. All right, now Brother Brown said in a sermon, Spiritual Food in Due Season, but we are dedicating this service tonight for prayer for the sick, and I want you to get built up now in the holy oracles of God, and we know the holy oracles of God is his word. And so he continues, in faith, the faith of this hour, and I ask the question, what is this faith except the faith of the Son of God? All right, having the same faith as he had for his own resurrection. He was, Brother Branham, you know, I've got a sermon I preached called The Faith of Jesus from Gethsemane to the Cross, and showed where Brother Branham said that God had to even test his son Jesus to see whether he was going to go through with it or not. But he left that decision up to his son. And of course, Jesus said, for this purpose have I come. So he knew exactly what his role was. We should know our role. See, if we believe that we are adopted sons in the transition toward adoption, we should act like it. Like Brother Branham said, the black man that was, he was the son of a king. So he didn't act like the others. He acted like the son of a king. And that's our role to be played out. All right? And then Brother Branham adds, the faith. It's going to take more faith than ever was in any age, for this has to be rapturing faith, be taken up. And so we want you to believe tonight in all that you have seen, heard, the word that you have heard preached, the signs and wonders that you have seen done. We want you to accumulate all of that together in your heart and consider it whether if that be God or not. There you go. It's either God or it's not God. That's rapturing faith. You see, so I ask the question, how much of what you saw and what you have heard did you produce yourself? None, right? You are just required to believe what you have heard being preached and to believe what you have seen with your eyes. And what did you see and hear? That's the question. You saw and heard what God was doing through a vessel. The vessel didn't do those things. God did those things. The vessel did not come down with a shout. God descended with a shout. It wasn't even William Branham's message until God revealed it to him. And did you know that once it's revealed to you, it's your message as well? You're supposed to echo. Echo means to say the same thing. All right? Now, from anointed ones of the end time, Brother Branham says, now I want you to know this is sure, and you that listen to this tape, you might have thought today that I was trying to say that about myself, being that I was packing this message. I have no more to do with it than nothing, no more than just a voice. And my voice, even against my better judgment, I wanted to be a trapper. But it's the will of my Father that I declare to do and am determined to do. I wasn't the one that appeared down in the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things and that happens as perfect as they are. I'm only one that's near when he does it. I was only a voice that he used to say it. It wasn't what I knew. It's what I surrendered myself to that he spoke through. It isn't me. It wasn't the seventh angel. Oh, no, it was a manifestation of the Son of Man. It wasn't the angel, his message. It was a mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man. It's God. The angel is not the Son of Man. He was a messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ. He's the one that you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man, his words will fail. But you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. If you haven't fed fully on every word to give yourself strength to fly over all the denominations and things of the world, will you at this time do it while we pray? Notice, again, just like Jesus, the Son can do nothing but what he sees the Father do. Brother Brown said Jesus had to have a vision to do what he did. You know, his book of visions is right here for us. That's your conduct, that's your order, that's your doctrine. That's the way you speak, that's the way you think. You know, that's his glory, his doxa. All right? And notice that the same God who came down with a shout will also do the voice and the trump. All right? So if you are in tune with God through the shout, you will be in tune when he turns to that voice, okay, of resurrection. Brother Ram continues in spiritual food in due season by saying, it's like Elisha of old. If God be God, then serve him. And if Jesus is the center of all things to the Christian, then I think we ought to let loose of everything else and cleave to him. Now remember, he is the center. He is the North Star. He is the ultimate. He is the absolute. And if he is the North Star, there's only one thing that'll point to the North Star, and that's your compass that you're sailing with. And the compass that I'm trying to sail with is the Word, and the Word always points to him. Now, we read this morning from Brother Branham's sermon, Perfect Faith, where he said, and so when a man lives by faith and walks by faith, I mean substance faith, he's isolated from the entire world and becomes a new creature in Christ. There now you're getting into bride material, you see. You're getting into rapturing condition now. That means for each one of us, not just the pastor, deacon, board, trustees, that means of the laity, every individual walks in a world with God alone. The problem we have, even in this message, is that churches do things as a church. And people do things as a church and as an association. If they got a group of ministers they associate with, then they tend to lean on those ways and they tend to preach in those things, and they're missing other things that God has for them. We must always, as an individual, walk with God. See, there's an Enoch walk. He walked 500 years perfectly. Noah didn't walk 500 years perfectly. No man. Abraham didn't walk 500 years perfectly. Enoch walked 500 years perfectly because it was him and God alone. And that's, you could be in a group of a whole lot of people that are good Christians, but if each one is not walking alone, then not all of them will be walking into that resurrection and rapture. You see, if you do things because you're peer pressured to do things, God can't use you. He wants you to focus on him. I sent our brother some quotes last week, or Brother Brown, there's about five or six of them where he says, God spoke to me. He says, you're surrounding yourself with too many people. He said, if you're going to walk with me, you've got to walk alone. And that's the way of a true Christian. That's the way of a person who's actually walking in a rapturing faith. It's just you and God alone. That's it. And you don't compare yourself to the other people. They have nothing to do with your relationship with God. You know, you don't get upset if they want to go a certain way. That's between them and God. Every man has their own personal walk with God, or they don't have a walk at all. And so this is the thing that we're looking at in this morning in rapturing faith. He says that means that each one of us, not just the pastor, deacon, trustee, that means laity, every individual in the world with God alone. You're baptized into this kingdom, and there's nobody in there but you and God. See, he gives the orders and you pack them out. Whatever he says, there's not a shadow of doubt nowhere. You walk right on. If the Lord says this, there's nobody in the world can talk you out of it. You go right on just the same. Now you're coming into perfect faith, perfect perfection that cannot fail. That faith never fails. Yes, that was a mystic to them with his perfect faith. Or he was mystic to them with perfect faith. And so it is now with those who have perfect faith are a mystic to others. They look at you, they can't figure out where you're coming from. They got an idea in their mind that you're saying one thing when you're actually saying something else. But they did that with Brother Vail, with the Prusia. They did it with the Godhead. They said he preached two gods. He never preached two gods. You know, they said to me that I'm preaching some type of a going back to Pentecost and works when I never have. I've just talked about what are the works of Christ. I mean, Brother Branham even mentioned the word works. And he says there's about 80 different things he says in there, and which are the works of God, which basically comes down to this. It's your opinion, I mean, your attitude towards God's word. If God says something, you believe it, and that's it. You follow what God says. And so that's what John 14:12 is all about. Well, anyway, notice then, he's not talking about what we do, but what we are focused on. And that is what I want to make clear this evening. In Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and do his good pleasure. Not your good pleasure, his good pleasure. Your focus, Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. All right, he said, I always please my Father. Now the same apostle said, our focus is to be on the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto, that means focusing our attention on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then he tells us how that Jesus had to have the same faith that we are to have, and that having that faith, he was able to endure until the end. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The same Bible tells us that he will make ready a prepared people, also tells us, because we have a lot of people that take that and run with it. Well, he will make ready a prepared people, so we're all preparing ourselves and everything else. That's not what he says. Because he also says, he which began the work in you will perform it. So who's the prepared people? It's the people that God is working in you to will and to do. Those are the prepared people. All right? Letting us know how that we will approach him and his word. And so the wise virgin, when they heard that midnight cry, which is a shout, she just went out into his presence and went in with him into the wedding supper of the Lamb, while the foolish virgin began their works efforts to try to get into his presence. They were looking for the flesh. They were looking at the flesh. They were looking for the vessel. And as Brother Vail said, always get your eyes off the vessel. Get your eyes on the God who's using the vessel. The Apostle Paul told us in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which began the good work in you will perform it. Who performs it? Not you. He will. Who's in you working to will and to do? God. So if there's any doing, it's God doing. Like Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I'm living. It's not me living, it's Paul. It's not Paul living, it's Christ living in me. All right? So, this does not tell you that you will perform it. It tells you that he which began the work in you, it is the same one that will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Well, the day of Jesus Christ is upon us. It's the day that we go get ready to go meet him in the air. Now, the Apostle Paul also told us in Romans 4:21, and being fully persuaded that he had what he had promised, he was able to perform it. He, not Abraham and Sarah, not, well, I better get on an exercise program, get my weight down so that maybe I can have a child. He was fully confident that the promiser was able to make the promise. As Brother Branham said, he who made the promise is here to confirm it. You see? Now, Paul is talking here of Abraham, who so entered into the promise that God had given him that he realized if he was going to have that baby, which was promised by God, that God himself would have to not only give him a body change, but God would also have to have given him the seed to bring forth. So, and being fully persuaded, that's rapturing faith, being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was able also to perform. God said there's going to be a people who are caught up to meet him in the air, right? Yes. How are you going to do that? Jump? Learn to jump higher than Michael Jordan? Maybe you'll get there. I mean, that's Pentecostal, but that's what they think. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I got to roll my tongue in a certain way. I can speak in tongues. It's hogwash. It's just totally, totally not Christian. It's heathenism. All right? And we as the bride of Jesus Christ in this hour, the elect of God, must also come to that same place where we are fully persuaded that whatsoever God has promised for us, God is also able to fully make it happen. Brother Vail always said, if he don't make it happen, it's not going to happen. Again, in the sermon, Perfect Faith, Brother Branham said, are we going to walk into eternity like it was in the days of Noah with 8 souls saved? Are we going to come like Lot with 3 out of Sodom? Are we going to come like in the days of John the Baptist with 6 believers? Let us believe, for his works is perfect. They're manifested daily and perfectly before us, showing that he is the Word. The Word, Hebrews 4th chapter, says, the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword and even a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now think of that. The Word of God is that. A discerner of the intents of the heart. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, by the way, I just probably should have done this before we started last night. But when I put my sermons together, because we project them also, and then they go on the internet, and then they're translated in different sermons, what I do is I put Brother Branham's is all in blue except for when he's quoting scripture. All scriptures are in red, you know, and just my thoughts on that was the blood of Christ, you know, and also in the old Bibles, you know, you see the red was always something that Jesus was saying. But so scripture is in red, Brother Branham's is all blue, and then my comments that link to get the two together is simply in black and white. All right, so that's just for recognition so people can read and say, well, that's not Brian, that's not his own thinking. That's actually God's thinking through a vindicated prophet, and he's quoting scripture, okay? Now, all right, so he says, the Word made flesh, hallelujah, the Word operating in human flesh by physical signs, by material signs, by scriptural signs, perfectly to bring to you a perfect faith for a perfect rapture. Amen. Okay, so if this vindicated ministry is to bring to us a perfect faith for a rapture, then what can you do yourself to get there? Just simply believe. Only believe all things are possible, right? Again, in his sermon, Perfect Faith, he said, this is coming into this third pole. I'm believing it. And I want to ask you a sincere question, you that passed through the prayer line. Can you actually believe and feel now that there is something happened in you since you had hands laid on you? Raise your hand. There it is. This is what we've waited for. Now, this is just starting to bloom now, see? Just starting to bloom. I did this for a purpose. I'm working out something. It's taking this charge of faith and going right back to begin and come in and to kind of raise faith in a bracket where you've never noticed it that way before. Not a faith, but perfect faith. Build it up here. Now watch, a perfect God with a perfect heart, with a perfect promise by his perfect word, which is sharper than any two-edged sword and a discerner of the thoughts of the heart. Notice, a perfect God, perfect word, perfect faith. Well, when he which is perfect is come, then he which is in part shall be done away. That which is in part shall be done away. I used to think like a child. Now I think as an adult. All right? We used to have our minds kind of muddled from doctrine to doctrine, from church to church, from whatever. Now we're focused on a message that God himself came down to bring. All right? Which is sharp. Okay, then he says, we're coming now to the perfection, because the people has to come to this in order for the rapture. Come to what? Come to this message. Come to the shout. Because once you're in the shout, once you are in the shout, once you have heard it, recognized it, and then acted upon it, you're in that shout, there's going to be a voice that's coming soon. You'll recognize that as well. All right? We're coming now to the perfection, to the perfection, because the people has to come to this in order for the rapture. That's what's holding it away right now, is waiting for the church to come into the perfect rapture faith. I'm looking for it. It means a lot of shaking down for me. It means a lot of shaking down for you. But together we'll make it by the grace of God. Amen. The great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. Lord Jesus, grant some the presence of God. May your Holy Ghost ever make this pastor well and keep him healthy and strong for the service that you've called him. In Jesus' name, I'm claiming it, Lord. I love him. Now, here's what I want you to think. He says, it means a lot of shaking down for me, shaking down for you. Again, your minds have been so in tuned over the years of your Pentecost or whatever your background was. When you say there's a lot of shaking down for him, shaking down for me, and your mind thinks, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? I got to shake myself. Stop right there. I want you to see this in Scripture now. Now, we hear words like, we're coming now to the perfection. And again, we look at this as being something that we will do, we will accomplish, but he is not talking about what we will do, but rather what God has promised concerning us, and what God, who is the Word, was doing such as a sign of Messiah, which you and I had nothing to do with at all, okay? And then we hear words like, because the people has to come to this in order for the rapture, that's what's holding it away right now, is waiting for the church to come into that perfected, raptured faith. I'm looking for it. It means a lot of shaking down for me, means a lot of shaking down for you, but together we'll make it. How? By the grace of God. Now, okay. And when we hear words like a lot of shaking down for me and you, we automatically think we are the ones that have to do the shaking. But then, if that were so, then where could we begin? No, it is God that does the shaking, as he promised he would do in Hebrews 12:26, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Who does the shaking? God. God. Hallelujah. You know what that is? That's John 14:12. It's God. It's, you have nothing to do with it, but you're just a mirror. You're just a reflection. You're just a son of God that's led by the Spirit of God. So if it was the voice of God that shook the earth in the past, and he is the same that changes not, then it will be his voice that does the shaking at the time of the voice. He's already doing it. Look, I was shook when I came into this message. I mean, God shook me royally because, you know, I was a Catholic boy. And then I had converted and just became Protestant for about a year, and then came to this message. And God has continually shook me. You know, he brought me into Brother Vail's ministry, and God shook me, you know, with Prusy, he shook me with God, he shook me with all these things. He's still shaking, brother, sister. He's still shaking us. All right? But it's him doing it. And we're just sons of God being led by his Spirit. All right, so Hebrews 12:26 says, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth, but also the heavens. So if it was the voice of God that shook the earth in the past, and he is the same and changes not, then it will be his voice that does the shaking for us as well. For we are of the earth, and we are also of heaven. I'm afraid that when we try to place ourselves as having anything to do to merit rapturing faith, we're getting off the beaten path of the Word of God. Therefore, I want to read this next quotation from Brother Branham so that you can see it is God which works in you both to will and to do, as Paul said in Philippians 2:13. In his sermon countdown, Brother Branham said, don't miss it, friend. Remember, listen at my voice. It'll haunt you all of your life if you haven't got in. Out yonder when you're suffering for your punishment and where weeping and wailing and gnashing your teeth, that voice will scream back and forth. You hear it all the time in that weary, spooky place of hell. Don't fail. Now is your opportunity. Now you know there's just so many. I wonder if I could, would it be all right, you brothers, to pray for me, help me pray for them. Now, in these ministers over here, I wouldn't leave this place. Now, look, I said some pretty rough stuff, pretty rough things about airplane and automobile, and remember, they're horsepower too. It's all horsepower. The church is moving up, Holy Ghost power. It's the Holy Ghost that we're justified by. The minister knows that, don't you? The Holy Ghost sanctifies. The Holy Ghost fills us. The Holy Ghost gives us rapturing faith. Wow. So you didn't justify yourself. Oh, I got this great, you know, the Baptist, you know, I believe in Jesus. You know, do you believe in Jesus? Oh, now you're saved. It's not him that willeth. It's not him that willeth. It's not him that runneth. What is it? It's God that showeth mercy. God opened up. Look, if it's a revelation, it's not a mental gymnastics. It's simply God opening your eyes to what he's doing. That's what it's all about, brother, sister. It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do. So he says, now is your opportunity. He says the church is just moving up. Holy Ghost power. It's the Holy Ghost that we're justified by. You ministers know that, don't you? The Holy Ghost sanctifies you. The Holy Ghost fills you. The Holy Ghost gives us rapturing faith. See, as we move up. Now, I wouldn't leave this country here and you all thinking, oh, Brother Branham's something. I am not. I ain't even worthy to sit with them pastors. I have no schooling. I'm one out of season. And that's the reason. That's the reason God just lets me do this little thing here just to confirm what your pastor's been teaching you, they're men of God. So all these people who place their trust in a man are not even sure if they're going to make it or not. He said the same Holy Ghost that justifies you, is the same Holy Ghost that sanctifies you, is the same Holy Ghost that fills you, is the same Holy Ghost that gives us rapturing faith. So who's going to do it, brother, sister? If God don't do it, it ain't going to get done. So what have you got to do with anything except you simply receive what he's given you? Now, why do you believe that you're sanctified? Why do you believe you're justified? Okay, because God's word said so. That settles it. Well, then how were you sanctified? The word tells us how? By the washing of water by the word. You read the word, it says you shouldn't do this. Okay, that's fine. You know, 1974, a brother was preaching baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, well, that's what the Bible says. I said, then that's what I want to do. See, that's justification right there, brother, sister. It's not me doing. I just said, hey, if that's what God asked me to do, I'm going to do it. If God asks you, sisters, to wear your hair a certain way, you wear it a certain way. You want to please him. As Brother Branham said, I don't do it because I'm scared I'm going to go to hell. I do it because I love him. Sure. I want to please him.
Sure.
You see? Hallelujah. Heaven's going to be filled with a whole lot of people that love God more than they love themselves. Now, Psalm 119 and 9 tells us, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to the word. There's your sanctification. So, did he do it? No. We simply were washed by the word. And Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. So if the Holy Ghost justifies you, and if the Holy Ghost sanctifies you, and if the Holy Ghost fills you, then naturally, or according to the nature of the Holy Spirit, he will also give you rapturing faith. And by what process? By the same process that saved you, the same process that justified you, and sanctified you, and filled you. That same one will also glorify you. Glorify because it's his word in you. Just look at the promise of God in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, did you work yourself into the image of Christ? Nope. He predestinated you to the image of Christ. You see it? That's not works. That's him. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Well, did he call you? You know why? Because he predestinated you. See, let's work this thing backwards. All right? And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. So, brother, sister, if the doxa is in you and the doxa is expressing itself through you, that means you've heard, you recognize, acted upon. Well, then let's step that back. Okay? Then that means that if I'm in the process of being glorified, if I'm justified, if I'm sanctified, I'm justified, it means he called me. It means he predestined me. See, people were, did he predestinate me or not? Hey, look at your present condition and see the growth. See where you are from a baby being born again on your way up to be just like the Son of God in the image. And then you can see how all these other things is because he which began the good work in you. I began the good work in me? No. He which began the good work in you shall do what? Finish. Complete. Hallelujah. You talk about rejoicing. So who does the calling and justifying and sanctifying and causes us to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, thus glorified or filled with the dokes of God? God does it all. Then Paul adds, what shall we then say of these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up from us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Well, if nothing can separate you from him, do you think your own self can do it? You can't do it. Look, he chose you. In love, he predestinated you. You know, if you go back to Psalm chapter 1 and read it, it says, blessed is he, it talks about the man who's a righteous man, anyway, it says that, he walks not in the counsel of the ungodly and all these things. Well, in the last verse, verse 6, is very, very interesting because he says, The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the ungodly shall perish. Well, the word knoweth is a yada. It's a Hebrew word yada. It means the Lord actively participates in the way of the righteous. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. The word perish is abad, A-W-B-A-D. And it means to be left to himself. And of course, if he's left to himself, there is a way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof is a way of death. See? So the very fact that God is actively participating in your life is the thing, brother, sister. He's justified you, he's sanctified you, he's filled you with the Holy Ghost. He's going to rapture you. You can't do that yourself. Oh, I think I'll get me a jetpack and I'll fly up when everybody else flies up, I'll fly up. That's the way people's minds are just, I'm going to do it. I'm going to press in. No, you're not going to press in. You're just going to die to yourself and just... Like Brother Val used to say, the word up to the knees, word up to the thighs, and word to carry you over. What carries you over? The word. Who's here to lead us to millennium? The word. God, the word. Oh, brother, sister, it's just so wonderful. From look away to Jesus, Brother Brown said, it is so sacred that I mustn't not say much about it. As he told me in the beginning, said, this say nothing of it. Remember that year when it speaks for itself, but I've tried to explain that to others and I made a mistake. This will be the thing that, to my opinion, I don't say that the Lord tells me this, But this will be the thing that will start the rapturing faith for the going away. You see, now, I must lay quiet for a while. Now remember, and who's listening to this tape, you might see such a change in my ministry right away, dropping back, not going up, dropping back. We're right at the age now, and it can't go any further. We have to wait here just a minute until this happens over here to catch up. Then the time comes, but it's thoroughly identified. Now, he's talking about the third pole, which was in all experiences of the third pole. It's speaking of the word of life being projected, all right, or imparted. Now, what did the squirrels have to do with being created and given life? Nothing. Nothing. But they were spoken and they were created. Squirrels didn't have anything to do with it. Now, one thing. What did the little fish have to do with being resurrected? He was dead. And you know what's interesting? But he was dead, so he had no thought coming. Of course, I don't know if little fishes think too much, but they do go to school, so. But not one thing, all right? What did Hattie Wright's boys do to get saved? Not one thing. One minute they were snickering, and the next minute they were crying over their mother's lap. Now, from his sermon, The Token, Brother Brown said, "That's an outstanding scripture to me. And now I have many, many scriptures here wrote down and some notes that I'd like to talk a few minutes. And I would just try to make it like a Sunday school lesson so that we'll clearly understand. And I'm looking for a time of a breaking forth of the Spirit of God in these last days that we're now living in, for another surge of the Holy Spirit into the church for a rapturing faith." Now, what is that surge of? It's the Holy Spirit. It's a surge of the Holy Spirit for a rapturing faith just before it comes. And everything is setting straight in order for that. And I believe that we're now at the time that the word should have preeminence. I believe that the time to lay aside our creeds and our thoughts and come back to the word. So again, we see Brother Branham was looking for the rapturing faith in the church to be brought about by the Holy Ghost himself. Remember, he descends with not only a shout, but a voice. And from his sermon, once more, he says basically the same thing, that it will be a move of the Holy Spirit among the people that will produce the rapturing faith. Is the Lord Jesus, great master of life, the shepherd of sheep? Come forth, Lord. These people are hungering, they're thirsting, Lord. Years I've wanted to see this happen. Maybe it will happen, or maybe it will. Just once more, Lord. One more great move of the Spirit, one more time, Lord, and the church might receive the rapturing faith to go in. Grant it, Lord. Make known that you're with us, and we'll praise these for it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So did Brother Branham, in any of these quotes that I've read so far, say, you know, we've got to press, we've got to get there? No. What did he say? The Holy Spirit. See, from his sermon, Why Christ Speak, he said, now hundreds and hundreds of years before God had said that Israel would sojourn and be mistreated in a strange country and would stay there for 400 years, but God with a mighty hand would bring them out. So you see, with this burning bush, Moses knowed this intellectually, and the seed that was born in him was laying in his heart, and he tried through his intellectual experience with the word to try to bring them out. Remember, what did he get for it? One dead man. That was his effort to deliver them, see? Because he knowed he was born for that purpose. He knowed that the time of the scriptures all said that they'd already have been down there 400 years. Just as we know now, as a man asked me a few moments ago about the coming and the rapture, we know we've lived the time out. The time of the rapture is at hand. And we're looking for a rapturing faith that can pull the churches together and give us some supernatural strength that can change these bodies that we're in. We see a God that can raise the dead off the floor or out of the yard and bring him back to life and present him before us. When we see a God who can take a cancer that's eat a man to the shadow, raise him up strong and healthy man, that ought to give rapturing faith to the people. That when that light flashes from the sky and the trumpet sounds, the body of Christ will be quickly gathered together and changed in a moment and taken into the heavens. Yes, there's got to be something like that happen, and our schools of theology can never produce that. So look, Our schools of theology, our parousia, an understanding of it cannot produce that. Our understanding of Godhead cannot produce that. All right? It's got to come from God. God to do it. Yet they intellectually are right, but you've got to meet that light. You've got to find that something. Again, we see that it is not come, it does not come by intellectual anything. Or as we read in Zechariah 4 and 6, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And from his sermon, Lord, just once more, Brother Brown tells us, we've got the members, but they're weak. They love things of the world better than they do the things. And you say, oh no, oh, look upon the church and find out. Don't try to deny it. Your actions speak more than your words do. Oh yeah, got more members, bigger muscles. But where is the strength of the Lord? Your big muscles won't meet the challenge of this hour, the rapturing faith to take the church out of this thing before judgment strikes the earth. And judgment's fixing to strike. Listen, we're at the beginnings of it. Now, I'll say, as my friend Jack Moore said, if God's let America get by with these things that it's done now, doing now, he'll be morally obligated to raise up Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to it for burning her up. Right, judgment is next. You know, Brother Bram also teaches us, and we put this forth in a series I did on the end time judgments. Brother Bram said, every time God sends a messenger, he said, it's rejected, then God sends a temporary judgment. And so each church age, there was a vial. According, you know, if you look at Revelation chapter 7, you see each angel had, of the seven angels, each one had a vial, but the seventh angel had seven vials. Why? Because his message wasn't just a one-time shot. His message was a summation of the ages. And so a summation of the ages in word, you could have a summation of the ages rejected and a summation of the vials. All right? So then if the church doesn't have the power to get her out of here, then our only hope is that he that made the promise will perform it. And from unrecognized presence, Brother Branham does tell us this. He says, working for this one purpose, remember it's just one purpose, for you to recognize the presence of Jesus Christ. See, if he is present, then why? Everything is settled. He made the word, he's here to confirm it. And then he said in the same message, if we could realize he is appearing to us in these meetings for one purpose, and that's to release our desires that we have in him to us. But we've got to recognize his presence. And how do you recognize his presence? Is when the promised word for this age is made manifest. You see, he that looks for him, he shall appear the second time. He that looks for him. Are you looking for these promises of God? Even the promises I mentioned last night. Are you looking for them in your life? If you are, then that's for you. If you're not, that's not for you. Okay? Now again, from his sermon, God's Provide a Way, Brother Bram said, we are his presence tonight. We are in his presence tonight, and he's here to confirm and make good any promise that he made for this day. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And from his sermon, Influence, Brother Bram is quoting God to Abraham. He said, I made you a promise, and now I'm here to confirm it. And now how we know that promise is go? Watch that. They were waiting just before the fire fell. Abraham and Sarah was waiting for a promised son. God appeared in human flesh and done signs before them that Jesus referred to would be done the same thing at his coming that he the son promised. And we've noticed that now for going on 15 years, and still the church gets worse. No wonder we can actually see that we're in the Laodicean age. And from the message from that time, he says, and if we can just see the one who made us all these grand promises is here to confirm those promises. All right, so who's going to do it? God's going to do it. He's here to do it. From his sermon, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, he says, do you believe someday he'll come in and make us free? I do. Come to the grave and open the doors? I'll come out from among the dead. I'm trusting him. He's here tonight. Isn't it wonderful to know that we don't have to take some human philosophy, that we got a Bible here that speaks of this, and here he is to identify his church, to give it rapturing faith to be taken away. To give it. It's a gift, brother, sister. That's grace. Rapturing faith is not something you're going to work yourself into. It's not something I got to perfect myself. No, you're perfected by the blood. And you're washed by the washing of water by the word. So we see that all these quotes and more, that if it was God who called you, and God who justified you, and God who sanctified you, then it will be God who will give you rapturing faith to glorify you, and he is here to do it. Now in the first seal, Brother Branham makes a statement that many have wrestled with to their own destruction. He said, and then there's coming forth seven mysterious thunders. That's not even written at all. That's right. And I believe that through those seven thunders will be revealed in the last days in order to get the bride together for rapturing faith. Because what we got right now, we wouldn't be able to do it. There's something we've got to step forward. We can't have enough faith for divine healing, hardly. We've got to have enough faith to be changed in a moment and be swept up out of this earth. And we'll find that after a while, the Lord willing, find where it's written. And as a result of that quote, we've had many come on the scene and say that they have the answer. They know what the seven thunders are, and that will produce a rapturing faith, and they're so very, very wrong. The same Holy Spirit who came down with a shout will also bring forth the voice that resurrects the dead, and he is the same Spirit that will produce the trump, that will glorify us and catch us away. So just set back, my friends, and keep your focus on his Spirit and walk in the light as he is walking in the light. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his glorious face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. From his sermon, Accepting God's Provided Way, Brother Ram does not, he does tell us that God has a provided way to bring us to rapturing faith. He said God provided a way that he might bring the believers to a rapturing faith God's way. He provided his provided way to bring believers to rapturing faith. And is this the sign of the end, sirs? He says, is the mystery all finished? Has the sounding all over? Is that really them seven thunders fixing to utter out something, that little group that he gathered together will receive a rapturing faith to go in the rapture when he comes? For we'll be changed as quick as those angels in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and shall be caught up together with those that asleep to meet the Lord in the air. My prayer is, God, if that be so, I don't know, Lord. I just tell the church, but if it is, Lord, prepare our hearts and make us ready. Did he say anything there about you making yourself ready? He asked the Lord, Father, you make us ready for that greater hour that all the history time, all the prophets, sages, has looked for that time, Lord. I don't know what to say. Notice again, he speaks of the thunders, but then says, you prepare us, Lord. So God will do it by his word and by his Spirit, but woe to him who thinks he has it all figured out how it will be done. So don't try to make it up. No, don't try to make it this, that, or the other. Just let go and let God. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, and when God opens the door for us, if you are a son of God, you'll be led right into it. Just walk with him like Enoch walked with him. Again, from his sermon, is this the sign of the time? He said, where are we at, sirs? What about all of this? I'm asking you. The other angels was messengers, men of the earth, but this said to the angel of the church of Laodicea, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, messenger of the earth. See, men, messengers, prophets, and so forth to the church. But this one didn't come from the earth. He come from the heaven because the mystery is all finished. And when the mystery is finished, the angel said, time shall be no more. And seven thunders throw their voices out. And what if it's something to let us know how to enter into rapturing faith? Well, is it? Will we run and leap over walls? Is there something fixing to happen and these old, marred, vile bodies are going to be changed? Can I live to see it, Lord? Is it so close that I'll see it? Is this generation, sirs, my brethren, what time is it? Where are we at? Therefore, in this next quote, I want you to look at the assurance that we have, because he's talking about rapturing faith and he says, don't worry, it will be there. From question and answer of the Holy Ghost, he says, Patty Wright, the other day, she didn't ask for nothing. She was just sitting there, but she said the right thing, which pleased the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit spoke back and said, Hattie, ask anything that you will, whatever you got and you want, find out whether this is real or not. Ask anything. The healing of her little crippled sister sitting there, all drawn up, $10,000 to keep from digging on them hills over there. The youth restored to her well, her well run down body. Whatever you want, ask it. You ask it now. And if it don't come and give it to you right now, then I'm a false prophet. That's something, isn't it? Jesus said, say to this mountain. And you've heard about what's been taking place, that the ministry that we're entering into. We're way up the road now, soon the coming of the Lord Jesus, and we've got to have rapturing faith in a church that can be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and go out and will not go. But don't worry, it'll be there. It will be there. And when the power of the church rises, it'll bring its brethren. The powers of the church rises will bring its brethren. The power of the church will bring the other brethren. And then there'll be a general resurrection. We're looking forward to it. And finally, in his sermon, God has a provided way, Brother Branham says. And now we're moving right on into another great age coming for the rapture of the church. And in this, we're living in the time of the restoration of the gifts. It's stumbled many of the big churches. It's sent Nazarene backwards. It made fanatics out of a lot of Pentecostals. But just the same, God's moving right on, bringing in the rapturing faith for his church. That's right. So tonight, I represent that faith, the faith that was once delivered to the saints in the way of the divine gift, which, to my opinion, gifts and callings, not my opinion, but the Bible says that gifts and callings are without repentance. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't make yourself with blue eyes when you got brown. You're just what you are by the grace of God. You can't even come to God without God calling you first. You can't seek God without God seeking you first and calling. No man can come to me except my Father draw him. God is seeking. Therefore, brothers and sisters, all I can tell you is just to relax, stay focused on him, for when the time comes, he which has began the good work in you shall finish it. For as the Apostle Paul said, it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. And since you were justified by his Spirit working in you, and you were sanctified by his Spirit working in you, then you will also be glorified by the same Spirit working in you. So just let go and let God. And finally, in closing this with this quote from Brother Bram's sermon, it just says it all. From his sermon, Man That Can Turn on the Light, he said, I've seen it come to the spot where I didn't know where to move next. But he's always present. The never-failing presence is always there. He can turn on the light, yes, sir. He's just waiting. See what you're going through, going to do. He can flip the switch anytime he wants to. Yes, sir. There's a man here that can turn on the light. Those who sat in the regions of the shadow of death, some of them under cancer, some of them under the death of denominations, some of them under creed's death, some of them under traditional death, and all them kinds of death, and they have seen a great light. The man that flashed the light then is the same one who said at the beginning, let there be light. That same God yesterday, today, and forever, he's present today, right here now. Don't get scared. He can turn on the light. When the persecution comes, don't get scared. There's a light said that he'd catch away his people. He catches people away. She'll not go through the tribulation. She'll never do it. He said she wouldn't. She'll be caught away. How are they going to do it, Brother Branham? Looks awful dark. No matter how dark it gets, if you can't see your hand before you, just remember there's a man here that can turn on the light and can rapture the church. Remember, he is here to rapture the church. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Father, may our focus always be on you. May our eyes be on you. May we turn our eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's just sing that together as turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonder.